Who here, by a show of hands, who here would agree with this statement? People today are less resilient than they were 50 years ago, in general. So who would say, no, I think people today are more resilient than 50 years ago. Maybe, perhaps, yeah. Well, I know my grandparents, they grew up in the Great Depression. Both my grandfathers fought in World War II, served in World War II, those kind of things. And I get bummed out when I lose cell coverage. You know, as kids event, like, I only have 2G speeds here, man. This is horrible. Anyways, I am working with the assumption that resilience, true resilience, the ability to persevere, the ability to endure, is a bit on the decline. And that's why I wanted to spend some time over the next 4 weeks just on that one attribute of resilience. We're starting a series today called Holy Grit, this idea of endurance, of resilience, of what it means to have a faith that lasts. Because here's something that I know is true for all of us, is that hard things in life, they happen. They happen. Things happen to us that we didn't anticipate, that we didn't want. So whether these are random accidents, whether these are financial setbacks, whether these are family challenges, whether these are medical issues, hard things happen. And when hard things happen, there's one of two things will happen to you. Either one, you will become hardened by the hard things, or you will be strengthened by the hard things. I know what you would prefer. But you think of how easy it is to be hardened by the hard things. You think of a hardened criminal, right? You know, somebody who has, they maybe have been in a life of crime for so long that they can hardly imagine living any way differently. Or they've been in it so long, they don't even think about the consequences of their actions and how it affects other people. They're a hardened criminal, and that is a horrible, horrible thing, of course. But perhaps even more horrible is the hardened teacher, or the hardened doctor, or the hardened parent, or the hardened spouse, where the hurts of life have caused us to just shut down, to cease conversation, to push everything else away, to be hardened, or we can be strengthened. Now, the reason why we get hardened sometimes is because for many of us, you know, myself included at times, you know, our first natural human response to pain is this question: where is God? I am hurting. Where is God? And it's based on this sort of unnamed assumption that many of us have, this idea that I've been good, or at least I've tried to be good. Therefore, only good things should happen to me. Right? If the universe was working in the way it was supposed to, only good things would happen to me. And so then when something that isn't good happens to me, I think, well, I've been good. At least I tried to be good. God must not be doing his job. I had a contract with him. If I'm good, good things will happen, right? God is letting me down. Something is wrong. But what I'm hoping we can do over the next 4 weeks is look to change the question and to train our souls, so to speak, to engage in hardship differently. Because the natural human response when bad things happen is, where is God? But the biblically informed, the spirit-led, the God-empowered response is a different question. It's, how is God there? You know, because hard things come into our life for a wide variety of reasons, everything from You know, we live in a broken, fallen world, so bad things happen. It's like collateral damage in a war. We didn't necessarily cause it. It's just there because the world is messed up. It's not the way that God intended. Sometimes bad things happen because of our own stupidity. You know, we did something dumb and then something bad happens as a result for that. You know, sometimes bad things happen because we have an enemy, because there's evil in the world and evil attacks. But one thing we need to remember in all of those things is that there, regardless of the cause, there's nothing that happens in our life that doesn't ultimately pass through our loving Heavenly Father's hands first. There is nothing that will happen to us that God is unaware of, that God is not somehow present in. And so that question, how is God there, can change everything about how we see the situation. So in order to train our souls, I want us to learn a Bible verse. We have a memory verse. You with me? Yeah, maybe not. But we're going to learn it anyways. Because so it goes, I want for us to have God's word just flowing out of our lives, off of our lips, so that when hard things happen, we know exactly what to do. So our key verse over the next 4 weeks is going to be Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. And here's a way we can memorize that. And I don't know about you, but I have a hard time like memorizing where things are in the Bible. So I want you to think about this. When something bad happens, you go, it must be 3 minutes after 5. 3 minutes after 5, because it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? It's 3 minutes after 5. 3 minutes after 5, because this is Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, and we're gonna learn it together. We're going to learn a Bible verse today, okay? You with me? Yeah, I'll just assume you're with me. All right. We also, say it with me, glory in our sufferings. Next phrase together. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Let's say that again. We also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Let's try that first phrase. Turn to your neighbor and say, we also glory in our sufferings. Now turn back to your neighbor and say, do we? Really? This is one of those verses where you think, is there a typo in the Bible? Because I don't know about you, but when I am suffering, there's nothing about it that feels glorious. Not a single thing. Well, that's because most often I look at the world through human eyes. And I just don't have God's perspective about me or about the world around me very much. But maybe if I did, I would see things differently. We also glory in our sufferings. What's the next phrase? Because we know. So say that to your neighbor, because we know. Now turn back to your neighbor and say, I don't think we know. I don't think we know. Because we don't glory in our sufferings. But maybe if you stick around for the next 4 weeks, we can start to know this. We can start to see the world in a different way. Because from God's perspective, there is no pain that ever gets wasted. When it's in God's hands, He can do something good, even with the worst of situations. Because we know that suffering produces what? Perseverance, and perseverance produces what? And character produces what? Hope. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, just in case you're wondering, is Pastor Andrew just kind of coming up with some weird thing that you can, I mean, you could figure out, you can make the Bible say anything you want if you only pull out one verse, right? So is this a theme that's all the way through the scriptures? And the answer is, yeah, I'm afraid so. So we're going to turn to James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. And it's not exactly the same, but you'll see the very similar themes. Okay, James 1 verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy. Can I hear the sound of pure joy? Oh my. Try a little bit more. Pure joy. Yeah. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know, there's that theme again. These things that we need to know. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. So let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. That's the character piece, isn't it? Not lacking anything. That's the hope piece. So if we want our faith to be mature, if we want to have a faith that endures, that's robust, that's complete, we need to develop perseverance. We need to develop godly perseverance. Now, some of you might be thinking, I got me plenty of perseverance because I am the most stubborn person you ever met, right? I got plenty of perseverance. I am a stubborn, stubborn person. Well, I'm not necessarily talking about stubbornness. Now, perseverance and stubbornness, they're kind of related. There's some similar, I'm going to keep going sort of character traits, but stubbornness is kind of like perseverance in the devil's hands, or stubbornness is kind of like the evil stepsister of perseverance. So let's compare the two. So you see, perseverance, it keeps going, and stubbornness, it keeps going too, right? But there's a difference between perseverance and stubbornness because perseverance also keeps growing. Well, stubbornness, it stops growing. I've always done it this way. I'm always going to do it this way. And that settles it, man. Perseverance keeps learning. And stubbornness has stopped listening to anybody quite some time ago. So we're looking to develop perseverance. 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 Now, it's also important to note that while hard things happen, hard things are also what we are called to as Christians. Did you know that following Jesus is the hardest thing you will ever do? Do you know that? It's the best thing you will ever do. It's also the hardest thing you will ever do. Do you know that? I can't hear you. You got to nod your heads a little bit louder. That's good. It's the hardest thing you will ever do. And so it's interesting to me that when we see Jesus preparing his disciples for ministry, as we take a look in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, we see Jesus preparing them for hardship, preparing them to have a resilient faith. So Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 11, after the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of them to every town, to where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out harvesters into his harvest field. Look, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Don't take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this. Be sure of this," Jesus tells his disciples. "The kingdom of God has come near." So you're going to go from here and you're going to go into a town and sometimes you're going to be welcomed. And sometimes you're not. And either way, the kingdom of God is near. Sometimes you're going to pray for the sick and amazing, mind-blowing healing will happen. And sometimes you're going to pray And nothing is going to happen. And either way, the kingdom of God is near. Either way, I'm here with you. Sometimes you're going to preach and proclaim the good news of Christ, and people are going to respond, and lives are going to be changed, and communities are going to be transformed. And sometimes you're going to preach just as hard, just as well, and nothing is going to happen. And either way, I'm with you. Be sure of this. The kingdom of God has come near. So as we look at how we handle hardship in our life, so whether that's hardship that's just happened to you or that's hardship that you've chosen, over the next 4 weeks, I want to ask you to consider to consider these two questions. The first one is, what is your hard thing? What is your hard thing? Is it something that's, you know, just it's been happening to you? There's a medical thing, there's a family thing, there's a financial thing. Or have you chosen a hard thing? You're taking on a new challenge out of a response to God's call in your life. You're doing something hard. What is your hard thing? And that we would train our souls to ask that important question, how is God there? Now, in your bulletins, you have a little insert that's going to look a little bit like this that I hope you would take home, maybe spend a little bit of time with. We're going to have the same insert over the next 4 weeks, because what this is intending to be is a bit of a guide to identifying and discerning some of the hard things in our life. That we'd start with that question, how, God, are you there? I know you're here somewhere. I knew you're doing something good, something redemptive, something through this hard thing. Help me to see it. Now, you should know I will never ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself or that I haven't already done myself. I'll never ask you that. So I want to share a bit of my own story and some of the journey that I've been on. And now, I've been thinking about this series for quite some time. You know, what is the hard thing in your life? And do something hard. You know, because this for us is a season of some real transition, you know, in life. Anita's back at work full time. She's a labor and delivery nurse. She's working this morning. It's really hard. Our oldest daughter is off to college, like, this fall. This is like her last Sunday with us for a couple of months while she goes off to a camp. It's crazy. And it's hard. Season of transition and feeling God's just urge to be prepared for these new seasons of life and to be building resilience and also just feeling God's call to some challenges in the future. But the one that I wanted to talk about today more than anything else is a challenge that's been happening more to me. You might have noticed that over the past month that when I've been speaking every now and again, I kind of talk about, hey, I'm kind of going hoarse, or you can hear me struggling a little bit with that. Or you might have noticed over the past few weeks where with our band that I haven't been singing very much, or in many cases at all. It's because I've been experiencing something kind of weird, at least for me, with my voice. Now, I'm used to using my voice pretty hard. I mean, I've been in full-time ministry now for about 23 years, so I'm singing and I'm preaching and I do it all the time. And the pattern for many, many years of life is you kind of sing hard, you go for it, and you might feel a little bit hoarse on Monday, but by Tuesday or Wednesday, you're feeling fine again. And about a month ago, as I was kind of going through some of that and allergy season and things like that, I was doing what I had always done, but I was just not recovering. I just wasn't getting better. And so I ended up going to my doctor, who gave me a referral to an ear, nose, throat, and they stuck a hose down my nose and they took a look. In addition to some allergy and sinus things, which are now thankfully getting resolved, as a result of some of those things and the result of me just pushing through, because I'm a dude. Like, we do this, don't we? And we just keep going. We just keep going and just keep going. I have what's called vocal nodes. There's a little picture on the screen. It's like a callus on the vocal cords. Now, thankfully, mine aren't large, and they're probably going to resolve themselves, but they're only going to get better if I make some changes. I like to talk loud. I like to get excited and yell, and I got to be careful about that. I like to belt when I sing, like to, because it's fun. I got to be careful with that. And so as I've been learning to drink more water, that's another part of it, too. So that I'll get my voice all the way back. And learning to, on some level, relearning how to sing. Now, I realize this challenge compared to many of you are going through, it's not a big deal. This isn't cancer. This isn't like, you know, it's not a big one, but it's kind of big to me. And speaking and singing are a huge part of my life. And so when I first heard this, you know, this was, I got to, in first experiencing this hoarseness, I got to admit I didn't handle it great, you know. On a heart level, there's moments it was a little bit like this to God. You know, God, I've been preaching for you, and I've been singing for you. And don't I get a free pass on some of this stuff? Can't you just make it all go? Can't you just give me supernatural strength there? But as I've been going back to some of the vocal coaching and things like that and learning how to deal with this, and so that hopefully in a few months it'll all kind of go away, some of the questions come up. Like, you know, why do you feel like you have to raise your voice in order to be heard? And why, Andrew, are you always fighting to be heard? Or realizing that, you know, if I'm going to sing without belting, some of that is being able to release notes rather than push up to them. Because my default is just to just power up and go. And somewhere in the midst of asking the question, Lord, how are you there in this? It's like I could feel the Holy Spirit just tapping on my shoulder. That instinct to power up and push through. Andrew, that's not just about your voice. It's about you. And you gotta let it go. The desire to speak louder just so you can be heard. It's about control, Andrew. You gotta let it go. That carrying your tension in your voice and allowing yourself to get stressed out about things, you gotta trust me. And you gotta let it go. Now, I know I am tempted, and I want to just pray, God, would you just supernaturally take this thing away and just make it all better like that? And he could, right? He totally could. But my hunch is, this is something he wants me to grow through and learn through. Because, you know, I got an amazing family. It's growing up, and it's changing. But what they need is a dad who's willing to lead in ways that let go. That isn't trying to just power up. Isn't always trying to push through. Isn't trying to control. And I've got this amazing church that I pastor. And I just love them so much. And they need a good shepherd who leads well, but never seeks to control and doesn't power up to make things happen, but trusts and releases and lets go. How is God there? When I start to take a closer look, it seems like he's there an awful lot. And, you know, pain is going to happen. So whether it's small pains like, you know, little medical things on your vocal cords, or whether it's the big ones, pain is going to happen. Hardship is going to happen. I just don't want to waste it by not allowing God to change me by it. Because hardship, it can either harden you, like what I'm afraid has actually happened to a part of my body. Or hardship, it can strengthen you. And I want to grow. So here's what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks. And I hope you can stick with this. I realize it's summer and there's things that pull you away. Just don't let it be a lame excuse, okay? Like, make this a priority. Because next week what we're going to be looking at is when we are feeling called to something, how do we discern? How do we discern God's leading? How do we know if it's God talking to us or just our own bright idea? The Bible has some powerful, super helpful principles for that. The week after, we're going to look at what's it mean to make a plan but to hold it loosely? How can I be a person of perseverance and yet also flexibility? And then the fourth week, we're just going to, I'm going to essentially just turn it over to the congregation, and we're going to share stories of how you are finding and experiencing God in the midst of hardship. So I hope you'll be thinking about what story God would have you share. Don't share something that happened 6 months ago or 5 years ago, but what God is doing in your life right now. So here's what I hope that you'll ask yourself today as we start this journey into holy grit, into resilience, into perseverance, is that you would ask yourself that question: what is your hard thing? And how is God there? Now, for some, you don't really have a hard thing going on in life right now. In which case, I hope you'd pick one. I hope you would do something hard. As the worship team comes up, I want us to spend just a little bit of time processing that. See, God is calling you and me to do hard things in life, to take on challenges. And you know, when we take on smaller challenges, whether that's relearning how to sing or finally doing that 5K or changing something about your diet, even those little things. I'm not talking about stuff that feels spiritual. Like, you don't need to come back to me and say, hey, I'm going to memorize Leviticus. Well, that's great if you do. But maybe you could take on something just a little bit smaller, but you could trust God for it and look for God in it and allow God to build in you and in me some of the resilience that we're going to need so that we can trust him when the big things happen, when the really hard things come into life. Does that make sense? You with me? So what's your hard thing? How is God in it? And are you willing to do something hard? So here's the question that... I know this is asking you to be just a little bit bold, but if there's something in your life that you say right now, I know what my hard thing is. You know, this has been happening to me for a while. Or I know what my hard thing is because I am just feeling the call of God in my life and I'm trying to take it on and it's challenging. It is difficult. If you have a hard thing right now, I want to invite you to stand. We're not going to put you on the spot other than to ask you to stand so that we can be identifying for each other. That we go through hard things. So if you're going through a hard thing right now, will you stand? Will you stand? There we go. There we go. It's because, see, it's my hope. And I realize some of you you're not going to stand for anything because, you know, like, pastor tells you to do something, you're like, whatever it is, I'm not going to do it. That could be stubbornness, just saying. But my hope is that in the next 4 weeks, as we do this, that pretty soon everybody will be standing. Some because they're saying, I'm going through something hard, but I'm looking for God in it because I don't want to waste this pain. for some, it's going to be because you are seeking God for hard things, and you're just saying yes to his call. You're saying, God, would you strengthen me to take on this challenge? I need your help because what I'm taking on is bigger than I can do on my own. Do something hard. Do something hard. Your life is too significant to waste, and the pain that you have gone through is too significant to waste. So do something hard and trust God through all of it. Take it on. Because I'm going to challenge you, those of you who are standing or thinking about standing, as we pray, and you, in your spirit, you just lift up that hard thing to God. You ask him to show you how he might be at work in it. I'm going to challenge you to pray a very, very dangerous three-word prayer. I'm going to challenge you to pray just under your breath, bring it on. God, bring it on. Whatever the lesson is I can learn from this, Lord, would you bring it on? Lord, whatever you're wanting me to be strengthened by in this challenge, would you bring it on? I'm better under pressure because I'm in your hands, God. I'm in your hands, God. I might be in a storm, but it's your storm, Jesus. I am with you because you are with me. So bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. So let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you meet us in the challenges, that you meet us in the hardship, and that you never waste the pain. Lord, help us to see you. Lord, help us to trust you, especially in the hard things. Lord, we pray for each other in the hardships that we're experiencing. We do pray for relief. We do pray for miracles. We do pray that you would alleviate pain. But Lord, even more so, we pray that you would strengthen us through the pain. Lord, we pray for one another who are taking on hard things. They're rising to the call of life. You're calling and they're saying yes and realizing that saying yes to you is difficult. So Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us through that hardship as well. Thank you that you're so close. And Lord, we pray for anybody today who's just taking that first big step of faith, of releasing control of their own life and giving it over to you, recognizing their desperate need for you today. Lord, give them strength as they begin this journey with you. And Lord, as we think about the pain that we experience, the hardship that we experience, all these things in the name of the one who died for us, in the name of the one who rose for us, in the name of the one who walks with us every single day. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus.